In the third reading of Parshas Shlach, we hear about Kalev demonstrating with the Jewish people that everything is going to be fine. And he begs his fellows not to rebel against Hashem. They're not very impressed. In fact, in verse 10 of chapter 14, we read, Vayemru kol ha'eda, the people said, Lirgem oisem ba'avonim, let's stone them. Let's stone them. And suddenly, uchved Hashem nira be'ehel mayed, the presence or glory of God is visible at the tent of meeting, and this is not something that Moshe Rabbeinu sees, but it's Kol Yisrael. Now, what do you mean vayemru? Who did they say to? So Rabbeinu Bachaya says that everybody agreed to this. It was almost like an unspoken agreement. It was as if they had discussed it. And the Rambam says that if somebody has a strong resolution in their hearts, they resolve to do something, it's as if it was verbalized. So it's as if it was said. The Medrash Rabbah says they wanted to stone Moshe and Aaron for leading them in this direction. The Medrash HaGadol suggests that they wanted to stone Kalev and Yehoshua. Rashi seems to follow the Medrash HaGadol. Rashi says, Lirgam Oysam, not Moshe and Aaron, Rashi says, Es Yehoshua v'Kalev. It was Joshua and Caleb, and the reason was because they had deflected the damaging words of the Meraglim and suggested, and in fact argued, that the Jewish people could go to Eretz Yisrael and everything would be just fine. And just in the nick of time, Uchved Hashem, the glory of God, how do we understand that? What does it mean, the glory of God? Rashi says it means Ha'onon Yorad Sham. Suddenly, the cloud, which represented Hashem's presence, it hugged the Ohel Moed, so everybody saw that suddenly there was some kind of divine revelation going on. And this saved them in the nick of time. Hashem speaks now. Vayemer Hashem al Moshe, God speaks to Moshe. And he says, Ad ono yinatsuni ha'omazeh. How much longer will this nation incite me and anger me? Va'ad ono lo yaminu vi. How much longer will they not believe in me? B'chol ha'oisis asher osisi b'kirbi. All these miracles I did in their midst. And it just doesn't seem to work. They don't get it. Rashi says, ad ono. Ad ono means ad heichon. In other words, how much am I have to put up with? Enough is enough. In plain English. Yinatsuni. Rashi says that means yargizuni. For how much more will I have to put up with them angering me? Reb Sadia Gaon says the word yinatsuni is connected to the notion of rebellion, yimrudu. The Sefarno seems to suggest that this is not just about angering Hashem, a rebellion against Hashem, but it means scorning and shaming, if you will, lack of respect for God. God said, I had enough with this lack of respect. How much longer do I have to put up with this? Kol ha'isis, all of the miracles. It doesn't mean that they don't believe in the miracles. They saw the miracles. So they didn't have to believe in that. So, but it means, Bishvil kol anisim shasisalem, after all those miracles that they saw with their own eyes, and they still question, and they still rebel, hoyalahem lahamin. They had to, at this point, start believing, shahayecheles biyadi lakayim avtachasi. Don't you think by now, God says I already established my credentials? If I told them we're going to Israel, we're going to Israel. If Hashem says, I can do this, I can do this. Like how for how long do I have to prove that what I say is what I mean, and what I mean is what I say, and it can be done? And so Hashem responds very fiercely. Verse 12 of chapter 14, Akenu badever, I will strike them with pestilence. Va'irishenu, and we'll soon see what that means, irishenu. It sounds like inherit, but that doesn't really work. Ve'escha ischa will make you, Moshe, legoy gadol. You'll have the new nation of Moses. And they will be greater and otsumimenu, more mighty and greater than this nation that I have already. So we're going to have a change of a nation. Switch over. Get rid of these, and instead, I'll create a new nation out of your children. That's what Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does this mean when we say Oirishenu? Oirishenu, Rashi says, if you want to understand it, then you have to look in the Targum Onkelos. Kitargumai, Rashi says. You have to look at it as Unkelos renders it. Unkelos renders it Lashoin Teruchin, that it comes from the terminology of divorce, or drive them away. I will drive them out of this world. V'imtoimar. But then if you ask the question, what do you mean? Ma'ese l'shavua sa'avais. What will I do to the oath that I made? It says God. God has to keep his word, but God made an oath to the patriarchs that he will take their children out and bring them to the land of Israel. So Rashi says that that's not a problem. I'll make you a great nation. Sha'ata mizaram, you are after all descended from those very same patriarchs and matriarchs. So the promise that I made to them will be fulfilled through your family, through your children, your progeny. The Sepharno says, that it does come from the terminology of inheritance. He says, it's as if they will bequeath the wealth that they have, whatever it was that they received, they will bequeath it onto another people. Who is this other people? Like Rashi said, God says, I'll make a new people. Make a new people from the children of Moses. Okay, so the heat is on. Moshe Rabbeinu has to mount a really good defense. How's he going to defend us now? Right? So you think Moshe's got to muster the best defense possible. So what's the best defense? What best must he come up with? Vayomer Moshe. This is really the focus of today's class. Verse 13. So Moses says, El Hashem to God, Vishamu Mitzrayim. And Egypt will hear. Ki ha'elisa b'chachacha es ha'om hazeh mikirbe. That you have raised up this nation with your might from amongst them. V'amru el yeshev ha'aretz. They'll sit to those who dwell in the land, which is a euphemism for the Canaanites. That this everybody heard that God is amongst this nation. That they, so to speak, have this face-to-face relationship with God. Your cloud of glory is upon them. Your presence, so to speak, envelops them. And you go before them. And there's this fire at night. And then what happened? you killed him. You struck him all dead. Ki ish echad, like one person. The nations who have only heard of you will say, "Mibilti echaylas Hashem lahavi esa amaze el haaretz." He couldn't do it. He made a promise he couldn't keep. He couldn't bring them into the land. In other words, it's like the God of Canaan is too strong. And therefore, vayishchotem b'midbar, he slaughtered them all in the desert. And so Moshe Rabbeinu begs and beseeches and implores, va'ato yigdalna koyach adoshem, Hashem should magnify his strength, kasher dibarta, as he has spoken, lemer, and now Moshe begins to invoke Hashem, erech apayim, rav chesed, the 13 attributes of mercy. Very interestingly, at the night of Yom Kippur, our prayers are crafted from the prayers of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're woven from two separate incidents of prayer. The first is when we daven in the voice of Moshe after the golden calf, and the second is when we daven in the voice of Moshe, borrowing his phraseology, after the story of the Meraglim. And if you look in the prayers of Yom Kippur Eve, you see how both are reflected. So let's take a look in Rashi and understand Moshe's defense. What did he come up with in order to try to deflect the terrible anger of God directed against the Jewish people? V'shamu Mitzrayim, Egypt will hear. Well, Egypt is kind of dead. But what does that mean, Egypt will hear? Well, it says the remnants of Egypt will hear V'shamu Es Asher Tahargen. They will hear that you killed out this nation who you took out of Egypt. Kiha Elisa. Ki Rashi says, Meshamish Beloshan Asher, not because you took them out, but the nation which you took out. Heim Ro, they saw with their own eyes the miracles, the wonders. Asher Elisa Bechachacha, Godel, you took them out with this incredible strength, Mikirman, from amongst them. And as a result, they understood how much you love these people. Uchisha Yishamu. Now they'll hear Sha'ata Hergam, that you have killed them. Lo Yaimru, they're not going to say, well, people they sinned, they deserve the punishment. Shechat chatu l'cha, they sinned against you. They won't say that. Elo Yaimru, what will they say? They'll say, Shekenegdam, against the God of Egypt. He was able. Yechalta l'hilachem, you could have battled. Ava keneged yeshve ha'aretz, but against those dwelling in Canaan, l'yechalta l'hilachem. Here God couldn't deliver. V'zoihi, and this is the next thing that we talk about in the next pasuk, and then that's how verse 14 follows him. Va'omrol yeshev aratz hazeis. So what does this mean? El. El here means with regard to, like al. K'moy al yeshev aratz hazeis. Rashi says, if it would say about that nation, ma'yem ra'leim. What will they say? Says Rashi. What it says in verse 17. Verse 16, Masha'omer b'seifainu, what it says at the end, that they'll say, Me'bilti yecholos Hashem, he couldn't do it, he couldn't deliver, and b'shvil sheshamu, because ki'ata Hashem Hashem b'kirbam, they didn't know that people angered God. They don't know that the God and the Jewish people's relationship went sour. All they hear is that you're amongst them. Va'ayin, ba'ayin, atanir alehem. They're able to see you literally with the naked eye. As far as everybody knows, everything is hunky-dory. People look at somebody and say, wow, everything's so amazing. Look how great their life is. As I saw somebody write, I wish that your life should be as good as you make it look on Facebook. What does everybody see?
Huh?
Everybody sees, everything's great for the Jewish people. It's wonderful. The Jewish people's national Facebook page was filled with images. Filled with images of God's presence, of God's love, of God's adulation. Hakel b'derechiba. Lo yikiru b'cha shenitka ahavoscha mehem adheno. They don't know that the love has become weakened and attenuated, that the relationship is broken off. They have no idea. They don't know that. So what will they say? They'll say, God couldn't do it. And therefore, v'hematos ha'amazeh, he killed out this nation, kishechad. Pisaim, all of a sudden, a nation he loved so much, what, all of a sudden they all died? Notice it was a couple of sinners. Every nation has a few bad apples. A whole nation just died out. How could such a thing be? They're not going to know the real story. The Jewish people didn't post on Facebook, we're not going. They didn't tell everybody what's going to happen or what their plans were. And therefore, they will go ahead and say, or v'amru, Egypt will say, Hagoyim asher shamu es shemacha, those who heard of your renown and your repute, those who are aware of this, they'll say, mi bilti echeles. They'll draw their own conclusions. And they'll say, Lefisha Yeshve, Ha'aretz Chazokim V'Gibeidim, because the Canaanites were a mighty and powerful nation. The Pharaoh may be a mighty monarch, the head of a superpower, but you can't compare it to 31 monarchies which administered the land of Israel at the time. Zeis Yoimru, this is what the Egyptians will say, Al Yeshve Ha'aretz Hazeis, with regard to this land, they'll say, Mi bilti yecheles, he couldn't do it. He didn't have the wherewithal. Since he couldn't bring them to Israel, to Canaan, what did he do? Shchatam! He slaughtered them. He got rid of them. That he could do. He could fight Israel. They have no armed forces. They don't have any other God to defend them. So what happened? Did God listen to Moshe?
Yes.
Yeah? Did the people go to the land of Israel?
Ultimately, the children of those...
Did these people go?
Did those people go? No.
So God listened to Moshe or he didn't?
Well, he did.
Yes,
I mean, he did. God said to Moshe, don't kill them in the desert, because if you kill them, the nations will say God couldn't do it. So what happened?
Happened over a period of 39 years.
Ah, very good. That's exactly the point. Moshe said, don't do it suddenly. Because in the words that Moshe uses, he says, V'hemata sa'om azeki ish echad. You struck this nation down like one person. Like one person means in one fell swoop, knocked the people out. Didn't happen that way. It happened very slowly over the course of 40 years. So yeah, God does listen to Moshe, but not entirely. He doesn't forgive us entirely. Not so simple. He says, I'll forgive them. I won't smite them dead and build a new nation, but this nation will slowly expire, and then a new generation will be able to go.
What was Hashem's solution otherwise, though, to Moshe? Moshe's household is just four people, him, Tzipora, and his two sons. So what kind of solution was that?
I don't know. Takes some time, and a few hundred years, and there'll be a new nation.
So he's going to keep them in the desert for hundreds of years till they become a new nation.
Is that a problem for God? Is he going to run out of manna supply?
I think that's a little stretching it. What was supposed to be a one-year journey turned into a 300-year journey?
You think it's stretching it, but that's what God said, like... You ever hear the story? A guy said, God, he said, $1 million is like $1 to you. Can't you give me like $1 million? And God said, one day is like 1,000 years. I'll give it to you tomorrow. Like, what's the issue? It's a big deal. So we gotta wait a few hundred years.
But the same thing is, he could have not made them think bad of him.
No. God doesn't take away the freedom to choose. If he would take away, if they wouldn't think bad of him, then there would be no righteousness or evil. There would just be programmed monkeys, or robots is more like it. God doesn't want robots. Maybe the children of Moses would grow up to be a new nation and learn what happened to the old nation, so they'd learn a lesson. So here's my question for you. Is that the best defense Moses could mount? What will Egypt say? What will the world say? He couldn't find any merit. He couldn't defend the Jewish people in and of themselves. He couldn't say, God, you're asking too much. Moses, the great lover of Israel, he may not have been super articulate. He didn't have a great way to say it. He wasn't an orator. But Moshe Rabbeinu came up with the best ideas. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have a better defense for us? What did he say last time?
Essentially said the same thing.
No, he didn't. Last time he said that how could your anger flare? You should have patience for the Jewish people. You yourself said Hashem Hashem Kel Erech Apayim. You yourself said you have patience. And you said that you are able to countenance sin. So can't you find patience?
But I seem to remember that he used the same argument that the people, you know,
He uses that argument partially. Here it's the only thing he says. So actually, this question is a question that Rebbe asked. Let's take a look now and learn about the best defense. Page Reish Chav Beis, Simin Chav. Rebbe here echoes a question which is also asked by the Abarbanel, as well as alluded to by Rabbeinu Bachaya. So the Rishonim asked this question. Ha'umnam le'olsa b'dayte shol Moshe kol taina l'zechusam shol b'nei Yisrael. Was there nothing Moshe Rabbeinu could come up with that would have been a more effective or somewhat effective defense of their actions? Like, he couldn't defend them in any better way? All he had to say was, what will the nation say? What will Egypt say? What will Canaan say? He couldn't defend us? Is that indefensible? V'ochein, and indeed, b'pam akademis, last time around, when was last time around? Chetegel, golden calf. What happened then? Bikash HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chalas es b'nei Yisrael. God said, that's it, I'm done. Wipe out these people. What happened? Moshe Rabbeinu defended us on two fronts. Number one, he said, Lo, Hashem yechra abcha ba'amecho. Why will your anger flare against your people, which you took out of Egypt, with great strength and a mighty arm? And then Moshe Rabbeinu said a second detail. He said, Lama yemra mitzrayim, what will the nation say? What will Egypt say? And he says, I know what they'll say. They'll say, b'ra'o'itziyam l'harageisim b'harim. You took them out with evil intent. You just wanted to kill them anyway. You took them out to the wilderness, to the mountains. And l'chaloisam, you wiped them off. So last time, Moshe Rabbeinu mounted a very robust defense. He defended the Jewish people. And then he said, what will the nation say? And here, suddenly, Moshe lost his voice in defense of us as a nation, and the only thing he could say was, Lama Hashem, Lama Yemru Mitzayim. What will the Egyptians say? V'habir Bezer, page Eish Chav Gimel, the Rebbe explains. Mashmos Hatiyun, Lama Hashem, Yechera Abcha Ba'amecha. The intimation, the deeper meaning of why would your anger flare against your people? It is, after all, if you boil it down to its bare essence, to its organic essence, it's Moshe Rabbeinu saying to God, give them another chance. That's really what he's saying. Give them another chance. La'achar she'achzru b'tshuva al chet ha'igel. After they'll do tshuva, give them a second chance. So what was your question? Why didn't he say, give them a second chance? B'mikra shalafaneinu, in our present circumstances, God prefaced his remarks to Moshe. And he said, quote, Ad ono yinatsuni. How much longer will this nation anger me? Ad ono liaminubi. For how much longer will they not believe in me? Incidentally, let me remind you, this is not the only time the Jewish people sinned. This is not only the second time the Jewish people expressed a lack of faith in Hashem's ability. They've done this multiple times already. They did this when there was no water to drink. They did this when they decided there was no beef to eat. They've been having issues. They've been complaining and kvetching all along. You ever hear the story of this Jewish man who goes to an ashram? And the thing of this ashram is nobody speaks. You get 2 words a year. A fellow suffers through a whole year of deprivation. And then he goes into the Swami and he says 2 words. He says, bed hard. Okay, that's it. You got your 2 words. Goes back. A year later he says, food cold. Another whole year goes by. And he says, I quit. And the Swami says, I'm not surprised. All you've done since you came here is complain. All we did is kvetch. All we did is say, this is not good. The other thing's not good. Well, could God take care of this? Hey, Moshe, how about this question? And will he be there for us? So it's just like, this is, it's ridiculous. Again and again and again. When you come back and say, okay, give him a second chance. How about a fourth chance? A seventh chance? A ninth chance? At some point, this becomes a recurring theme. Maybe give him a second chance. Give him another chance. Another chance for what? To do the same thing all over again? I mean, this is like born to kvetch. We know what's going to happen. There's not even a question. This is a way of life. It's not an event. It's not an extraordinary happening. This is what goes on here. Okay, so Moshe says, God, give him another chance. God said, okay, and then? After I give him another chance, and then what's going to happen? They're going to come back to do the same thing again. This is a nation that sins. This nation that's doing the same thing again and again. This is not an anomaly. It's a way of life. But Matzav Shekozeh, in such a situation, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, God said to Moshe, Mutiv L'Chalas Bnei Yisrael, it's much better just to finish this off. Let me just put them out of their misery. Because again, they're going to rebel, and I'm going to have to punish them. Then they rebel and have to punish them. This is going to be an endless situation. And by the way, it is endless. Put them out of their misery. Let me remake a new nation that's born to dance instead of kvetch. I don't know, dude. Something else. Zeis l'tevasim. This is even for their own good. It's for their own good. It's like let me throw the kid out of school now because he's just going to get punished again and again and again. Let me just throw him out. Get him out of the system. They shouldn't have a life that's filled with consequences and punishments. Be'ikvis hatam rodius hachoizeres, without the rebelliousness, which keeps repeating itself like a vicious cycle, always going against the will of Hashem. B'makim zeis, instead of having the same situation where they sin and rebel time and again, finish them off. T'chaper aleim misosim, they can, their death will serve as an atonement. Heim yizku l'chai ilum haba, they go to Gan Eden. In Gan Eden you can't sin. No more free choice. I'll put them out of their misery, said God. Interestingly, another occasion the Rebbe said that the language is vayishchotim b'midbar. The word shchita is usually used like slaughtering meat. So we don't believe that slaughtering meat is an act of evil, it's a bad thing. On the contrary, how else should the cow daven? How else should the cow learn Torah? How else should the cow do somebody a favor? Do a mitzvah of tzedakah? If I eat the cow, and then I do that, then the cow is doing all those things. So the only way that the cow can actually become part of serving Hashem is the cow is part of it. So I gotta get the cow to join along. So therefore, this is a idea of a yishchotim. It's almost like a positive spin. God says this will be the best solution. The best solution for a nation that won't listen. For a nation that endlessly rebels. So finish them off, and we'll start this all over again. Well, Noah was the whole world. Here's one nation. And anyway, we get special treatment, you know. We get special handling. At this point, Moshe cannot advance a robust defense on behalf of the Jewish people. So, you know, you need to just give them another chance. God already ruled out the other chances because there is no other chances. It's not give them another chance, it's give them endless chances. And therefore, minikudas ma'abatam shel bnei Yisrael, maybe from that perspective, maybe it's better off that they should just like, let's put them out of the misery. Let's end it now. So what's the only thing? What's the last defense Moshe Rabbeinu can mount? What's the only defense he can muster at this point? The only thing left in his arsenal is Veshamu Mitzrayim. But Egypt will hear. What will Egypt say? V'amru Hagoyim. The nations will say. Menias Chil Hashem Bekedev Ami Ami Ha'ilam. The only thing Moshe could say is at least prevent Achil Hashem from unfolding with all the nations of the world. And David HaMelech actually echoes these prayers, and we say these prayers. Lama Yem Ragoyim, Ayeinu Elohim. Sometimes we say, Hashem, we don't have a good defense for ourselves. But why should the nations say that? They don't know. They don't know the truth. They don't know we're deserving of all these things. They just look at us and say, you're the chosen people. And they laugh. They're chosen for what? It's Achil Hashem. So when we have no defense left, when you have nothing to say for yourself, what's the only thing you could always say? Lama Yom HaGoyim. Why should the nation say? And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did for us. And he was somewhat successful. He was able to still the decree that the nation wasn't destroyed. The sinners did not come to the land of Israel. Eventually they did die out. And a new nation arose. But the new nation was actually the children of these very same people. And 40 years later, they did manage to come to the land of Eretz Yisrael to capture and conquer and establish our homeland and what eventually became the Commonwealth of the Jewish people.